My name is Jade, for those who don't know me. And I have four sisters who also come out to church. And I first got saved when I was 8th grade. And I got saved through this program, Day Camp. I don't know, I guess that doesn't exist anymore. I guess it's Math Camp. It was really fun because all we did was go on field trips. And we just hang out together. We really didn't do anything but come to Math or come to Day Camp and then just hang out. Have lunch. We like got to day camp like at 10 o'clock, and then, I don't know, we had recess, and then we went on a field trip, and we ate lunch, and then it was like time to go home at 2. But it was really, really fun. I don't know, for some reason, just coming out, I guess math camp is still kind of like that, but you got to learn math, so, oh well, too bad. So, that's about me. So we're continuing our journey through Colossians. Today we're going to look at Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. I have these outlines I prepared for everyone just to follow along, or if you guys want to take notes, if you guys care to take notes. And Colossians 4, chapter 4, 2 to 6, and we all turn to our Bibles, and we're going to be kind of dissecting these verses today. first of all, this lesson, when I read it and read the, what is it, the Bible study guide, it really talked about evangelism, and it was evangelism through prayer. And I was like, well, you know, we all know we go out and get people saved, and you know, Mel and Nate preaches about it all the time, to go out and ask your friends to come out to these various events, either to the Christmas concert or the Thanksgiving dinner or whatnot, and pray that they open their hearts and that they'll accept Jesus as their Savior. So we all know that. For example, you know, Mel's Christmas present this year was like the Wordless book. And basically he gave you a little outline how you would get someone else saved by this Wordless book. And he always gives us these cute little tracts. And, you know, he encourages for us to give them over, pass them to our friends. And God uses believers, us Christians, as instruments to get people saved and reaching the lost. But really, what's essential to evangelism, getting people saved, is prayer. So if we don't pray, it's like, if we don't pray to try to get people to get saved, it's like driving a car without gas, right? Going out to preach to people and really, you think that you can go out and just talk about God and they automatically get saved. And I guess what I'm trying to say is evangelism requires that you pray for them. And so how do, I guess, how do like non-believers see us Christians in this world? Do we look just like other non-believers, or do we look special? I mean, do we look like the average person that we see on the street? But in reality, us saved Christians should look very different. For example, like the book uses going to see the eye doctor. For those who have glasses or ever seen the eye doctor will say, well, which lens looks better, lens A or B? And they'll go lens B or C. And sometimes you're just unsure after like 8,000 lenses you're looking at. You don't know if A or B is actually more clear. And it's kind of like that. There should be no mistake when someone looks at a Christian or a non-Christian. You should be quite certain who is who. So I was going to kind of talk about how we can go out and get people saved, but really I want to talk more about the prayer part and use this Bible study kind of as a lesson to grow as a Christian through testimony, through prayer, and kind of develop spiritually instead. And then with this good testimony, hopefully we can attract these non-believers. And this outline I've given you is kind of like what I kind of call a grown-up prayer list. I don't know if Melvin Nathan still does it, but he used to give us a prayer list where he says, okay, well, Monday you pray for your friends, Tuesday you pray for like your parents, and Wednesday you pray for, I don't remember what it was, like school or something. I used to tape this on next to my bed. So I remember, okay, well, this day I'm supposed to pray for this. And those are, that's great. And it really works for younger people or younger people who just start believing and kind of just more simple for when I was like in elementary school or middle school or something like that. But this here is my kind of like grown-up prayer list where I list out a few like elements of prayer, and it's all stated here in chapter 4. Chapter 4 starting with verse 2. Let's see here. And first, I guess, oh, I forgot. Let's talk about what a believer's prayer life is like. Sometimes when I pray, I can run out of things to say. I don't know if anybody else runs out of things to say, or you feel like you're saying the same things over and over. Every day you're asking for the same things, and you're thanking God for the same things, and it's almost like the same words, and you're asking for good weather, or thank you for the food, and that's just about it. And or it's like a shopping list, and you're asking God, oh, dear God, please bless me in this, help me with this, provide this miracle, give me, you know, world peace or something. And yeah, that's great, you know, that's fine that you ask for these things from God. But hopefully this Bible study will also help everybody here to, I guess, hear what other people pray about and maybe give you ideas, spark ideas of what you can also pray about. So, and also give you ideas about new things that maybe you never thought you could pray about. Let's see. So the first thing is that here in verse 2 mentions that continue in prayer. So obviously be consistent and constant in prayer. So pray daily, right? That's kind of obvious. But sure, you don't want to repeat yourselves in everything, but don't use it as something like a last resort. When all else fails, pray to try to, you know, get what you want or get out of difficult situations. But instead, you should pray in both favorable and unfavorable situations. So, for example, if, you know, in an unfavorable situation, say if someone is battling from a disease, cancer, say, you know, pray that, you know, not just that this person gets through cancer, but pray that God's with this person during the battle of cancer, this walk through cancer, and just having God in their life during this difficult situation makes that person having cancer much stronger. And we can definitely pray for that, not just pray that this person gets well, but pray that God is with this person during this time of need. And one thing about continual prayer is that we never give up. Even though, say, this person loses their life battling cancer, never give up in prayer. Because, you know, non-believers can see that you're constantly praying. That we look beyond just the immediate results, that there's a bigger picture. And we don't get distracted from, say, okay, well, God didn't deliver this time, therefore we'll stop praying. So the first point is just to be constant in prayer. Just pray no matter what, in both favorable and unfavorable situations. So let me ask you, what are some of the temptations that may keep us from praying continuously? For example, for me, sometimes, you know, I'm so busy, say I'm working or something, you know, and I'm working really late, and I get home and I'm just so tired, you know, I just want to go to sleep. But that's for me. That kind of you know, tempts me from stop reading my Bible because I'm so tired or stop praying. So then what I did was got a new job. And then so now I go home and actually pray and read my Bible and stuff. So what are some of the temptations that you guys face in your life in terms of battling, you know, keeping constant and consistent in prayer? Anybody? Nobody?
Hunger.
Hunger?
So what do you... say grace before I eat, because I'm really hungry. I just want stuff to put in my mouth.
So like you have this piping hot food in front of you, and it's like, it smells really good, and so you say grace really, really quickly? Or...
Or you take a bite and then
eat while you're praying. Yeah, that's really hard. Or like if you have a TV, if you're watching TV, you have one hand on the remote and you're like ready to turn on the TV or something like that. And yeah, that's hard. Especially when I'm really hungry. Yeah. So what can we do about that? Don't get to a point where you're that hungry. Or like when I go to restaurants and I'm like really, really hungry, I like pray before the food comes. So I order and then I pray, and then so then when the food comes, not a problem, right? We just start eating.
It's really hard to pray when you feel God is not in your life, when He's not answering.
Yeah, that definitely is, you know, something that when you don't see the immediate results of prayer, you ask for an A and God gives you a C or something. Oh, man, or something like that. Yeah. Or you think about all the times He didn't deliver, and that's quite discouraging, I guess. Huh? Yeah.
But you kind of also have to see He has that for a reason, why He didn't give you that A, or the reason why He didn't answer your prayer. Like, He hears you, but He just didn't want that to happen. So it's just not in His will.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
You can't get discouraged. It's just not in His
will. Yeah. Most definitely. You've got to remember that. That sometimes it's not in His will to answer your prayer that time. But continue to pray. Persevere and continue to pray. So be consistent when we pray. So the point B I have in my grown-up Christmas prayer list is alert. And we look at chapter 4. Alert is in what? Chapter 4 of verse 2 again, the second part of verse 2. And watch. So I use the word alert here, but... the Bible here says watch, and I kind of interpret that as we pray to enhance our alertness. So we pray that that we're aware of our surroundings, that we don't fall into temptation. We pray that we don't associate, we're not friends with people who are bad kids, like drink or smoke or whatever they do in school now, that we pray that we don't get near those people, even though, oh yeah, they look so cool outside of school, they don't go to class or whatever, but we can pray, you know, that, you know, we don't get involved with sin, that, you know, we don't, fall into the trap of not coming to church on Sundays because there are Sunday events, Sunday football to watch on TV or something. But we can pray that, oh, there are no good games on Sunday morning. Or we can pray that, you know, there's nothing to do on Sunday mornings and there are no events, no, what is that marathon? Beta Breakers or something, that they'll change Beta Breakers to another day or something. And just another thing about alertness is that to remember to read your Bible, because oftentimes, even though I try to make it a practice every day, but sometimes I still forget. So one thing maybe we need to pray about is just being alert, to remember to read our Bibles, remember to pray. So that's alertness. The third thing I have on my list here is thankful. So every day we should be thankful about God. We should be thankful that He's given us, hey, everything, all the clothes on our back, you know, the life that we have, you know, that, again, that we don't just pray and say we want this, this, and that, and we want these kind of blessings, but instead fill your prayers with gratitude instead of complaining, grumbling. Fill your prayers with thanks that, you know, He's given you little things even, you know, and have that thankful spirit, that attitude around others, saved or unsaved, instead of just complaining about, oh, these things that are not right in your life, but instead fill your conversations and speech with thankful words, encouraging words for others. I mean, it's not just encouraging among non-believers, but also encouraging among your fellow Christian peers. Obviously, I don't want to hear anybody else complain about their life, right? So let me ask you, what are you thankful for yourselves? I know we had the Thanksgiving testimonies, but what is everybody else thankful for? And kind of give ideas to other people, like some things that you're thankful for that other people can think, oh yeah, God provided this for me. You know, for me, God has really looked after me. Like, He's really, you know, I move a lot, so then, like, you know, He's always provided me with apartment that, you know, is reasonable and stuff, and I never really had to look too hard for a place, because renting a place is really expensive and just hard to look for at all. He's really provided for me in that way. How about everybody else? What are some of the things you thank God for? And maybe others will.
There's this one time I was walking to the bus station. And then I walked past these black guys.
Pray that you don't get involved with the black guys.
They stared at me. I was kind of scared. So then I just keep walking. I kept walking. And then they're following me. I was like, crap. I got to the parking lot where I was out of sight, right? But then I walked down the stairs and I started running. When I got to the bus station, the bus was already there. And then by the time I got on the bus, I saw them just come up the stairs, so I was kind of glad I didn't catch up to them.
But there was a bus there waiting for you?
Like, when I got there, it just came, so I was kind of glad I didn't catch up. Yeah, it was really late too, so yeah. I don't think anybody would have heard me.
Anybody else thankful for something in their life? No?
Well, sometimes, you know, there's days that it feels like there's just really nothing to be thankful for. Like, I feel like, boy, I really didn't receive any blessings at all today. But, you know, try to at least find something, even if it's insignificant. Doesn't even seem like a blessing. Like, oh, I had a really bad day, but, you know, thankful that, you know, the weather was nice. Or, you know, I had all these problems at work, but at least I ate a really delicious lunch, you know. When I do that, I find that, you know, I don't find that I get more blessings necessarily because of that. But I guess it's easier to appreciate other things that didn't seem like blessings before.
Yeah. Or sometimes if it just seems like, yeah, you know, you have nothing to be thankful for, but or, you know, nothing really wrong, nothing really bad has happened to you, nothing really good has happened to you. I mean, that in itself I'm thankful for a lot of times, you know, that, you know, my life isn't like a roller coaster, you know. Really, really sad sometimes, really, really happy. I'm really thankful for that. Wow. Anybody else want to share something that they're thankful for perhaps? So, you know, fill your prayers with a thankful spirit and just even going through life, you know, just, you know, be gracious of really what you have. So we can go on to the next point here, is specific. So not only can you just pray for, like, you know, broad and general things that he's with you, but you can also ask for specific things. In Colossians, Paul goes through this chapter, and he actually asks the Colossian people to pray for him, and to specifically pray for two things. He asks the Colossians to pray that he has opportunities to reach the unsaved through gospel, and also that when he preaches to these unsaved, that he'll have the courage and that he'll be able to preach clearly. So he asks God for that. He asks the Colossians to ask God specifically for these things. And I don't know, I find myself a lot of times asking for a lot of physical things. I want a good grade. I want a happy life. I want all these other blessings. I want to be healthy. And those are very physical. Actually, they're very physical things. And really, in a grown-up prayer list, we should pray specifically during to kind of grow spiritually versus asking for specific physical needs. Because once you can take care of yourself spiritually, all those things will just fall in place. So I encourage you that during your trials and tribulations to pray for things like that during your trials, these bad times that you have, pray that you'll have a measure of God's strength that, you know, gives you courage to endure trials. Instead of just, well, God, just pray that I'll get through this problem that I have. But instead, ask him that you'll have strength, his strength, to help you get through these trials. And that's kind of like the next step in prayer and next step in growing spiritually. You can ask that God, you know, once you get through these trials, either, you know, once you get through these trials, that God is the one who gets the credit, that God is glorified through these trials, that he's the one that got you through. It's not you. If you get an A in your calculus class, you didn't get the A. God got you that A, really. And during these trials, we need to also ask him that that believers will see this. That unbelievers can see this, that unbelievers come to God through these testimonies, that unbelievers will come to God because God got you through these trials. And, you know, basically, instead of just asking him for these direct things, please give me an A, well, give me an A so that unbelievers can see that I got an A, that you helped me get this A. God, you got this A for me. Unbelievers can see that, and unbelievers will open their hearts. And basically, that's kind of what a kind of grown-up prayer, you know, life is like. So just asking just for, bless my family, bless myself, bless my grades. That there's this next step where you ask for more spiritual items, I guess you could say. So I guess the next part to my outline here is the believer's public life, meaning how should we walk like as a Christian? How should we talk like as a Christian? And, you know, in Colossians, it talks about how, like, the Colossians lived in this pagan society, and the pagan society is a society of idols. And the Christians in Colossae, they're trying to reach the unsaved. They're trying to get people saved. And how does, like for us, how do we penetrate a society like that? Same thing like in San Francisco. Majority of people are non-believers. How do we penetrate? How do we get more people saved? You know. I guess we can go out on the street, go downtown, and start preaching and stuff like that, but that's really unattractive. Would you want to, if you see some of these, I don't know, crazy looking guys preaching downtown, and I mean, do you honestly want to believe in what they're saying, they're yelling on the street? Really, I think that's just a turnoff for me. But you want to walk and talk wisely. You want to walk and talk with a thankful attitude. And our speech should be different than the non-believers, and we have wholesome and helpful words, and that unbelievers can hear Christians' joyful voice, and that it's so great to be a Christian, you know. Nathan always talks about how he goes down the street, or no, he goes to get his hair cut, and he gave this flyer to, I guess, the haircut stylist or something. What was it? I think Chinese school or something like that. And Nathan's just so happy that he was able to give this flyer to this woman. I mean, that's really when I hear that, I can really hear that he's really happy. He's really joyful being a Christian. That, wow, he was able to reach someone. Started talking to his hairstylist, and he was able to give this flyer to the hairstylist. And I think that's great, you know. For me, I have a lot of non-saved friends, and I'm very different than them. I do different things, which is fine, and we all get along and stuff. But I have this one friend that I've been friends with for over 10 years, and he's always been, like, I'm never going to get up on Sunday mornings to go to church. I'm never going to be a Christian. But actually, I still pray for him. I pray that he opens his heart and that he can see that I'm really happy going to church on Sundays. I'm really happy on Sundays teaching, and I'm just really happy that God's in my life. And this past year, he actually started going to church. And that's a real blessing for me. I mean, not just that, you know, he's gotten saved, but, you know, that my prayers really came through. All my hard work, all the prayers I prayed about for him, you know, really came through. And that's a true blessing for me. So, in all, what does God expect from us in terms of prayer? I know we were always taught to bow our heads and close our eyes and fold our hands to pray. But really, that's not the important part. You can pray anywhere, and you don't have to bow your head, and you don't have to cross your hands or anything. Because what's really important is that you focus, that you really mean what you say, and that you're absolutely concentrating on Him. And I know it's hard if you have food in front of you and you're praying and stuff, but really mean what you say. And that you pray for opportunities for the unsaved. And I guess my message is really long. So I think I'm done anyway. So basically, the grown-up prayer list I have is more or less the spiritual things that you ask for, and not just the physical. So, okay, we'll just end off like that. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. That you've given us so much and that you've given us everlasting life in heaven. Lord, we ask you to continue to see us through our lives and just be with us. Be with us in our hearts. And Lord, we ask you to keep us strong and that you'll continue to just keep us in good health through this cold and rainy season right now. Lord, we thank you for everything you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.